Seven Tiers of Medicine to Rabbi Dr. Eddie Rankin, physician who knows about halacha too. So that should be interesting if you want to come. Meanwhile, I'll see you at 10 o'clock Linetta on Sunday morning. Let's go. Dolphin Akuma. Let's read the Rashi on the second wide line. Pachas mital ramas kshera sh'af hu hukshay de ayoda de kaimelon navavim advez halachu moshe b'sinai v'machshiri suko ayde akimas dolphin at arba amas chasam asher v'roon schach elyon hamechuba ledolphin harachok ki'ilu hu min hadolphin atzmo v'okum akeneget sfas v'istabo. So I think it's out. I'm going to take out the magic marker that we have here. Yes, believe it or not, I'm not good at art, but let's see. It's more than 20 amos. Here's the itztaba. Okay. I've been outside. I'm going to make the whole thing kind of easier. And here's this wall. And this is less than 4 amos, this distance. So what? How does it work? So Rashi says, you know where the dolphin goes? Watch this. This is all the dolphin. The crooked dolphin. Right? Goes from here. That's what Rashi says, right? It's clear. This is how Rashi understands dolphin akuma. The curves. So instead of this being considered a roof, no, it's considered a wall. So the wall goes until here. And the wall gets to here, guess what? Even that's it's the bar. So it's less than 20 amos from here. This is more than 20, this whole thing. This is less than 20, is this thing. Clear? So it works. That's why I should, is my art understandable? So this is Rashi Shiva. Okay, fine.
Good.
The Rashi says. Now, let's turn to the Ran, where the Ran suggests an alternative interpretation. It's page Dalit, new print, Beis Manal from the old. Let's read the Rashi. The Ran is on page Dalit in our print, right column. The Maskel Bona, but the seventh line. He quotes what Rashi says, and he adds a little word. Right. Rashi said that we, you see the picture behind me, that's what we do. So the Ran adds a little twist. Shekain darkon shel koslim nisake. Hey, what's going on? It's the way of walls to bend. And I never saw a wall like that, but somehow or other, it's the way of walls to bend. I don't see that Rashi himself used that expression, but I don't remember it. But Rashi, the Ran used that expression to add to what Rashi says. Well, now comes the most important part. Abali ev shel farish roen kiilu do hadofen iskar of the schach. There's an alternative explanation. Okay, what's that? Kiilu hadofen, this wall. I guess I draw another picture, right? This, same thing. This is more than 20. This is less than 20. Lulupsha, Pastofan Akuma. This wall, this is less than 4 amos. Guess what? We move the wall over. The wall moves. Yeah. Lulupsha, Pastofan Akuma. Not that it curves, it moves. And we understand it differently.
You know, from the bottom, like the entire...
The whole thing moves. Halachically, it moves over. 3 amos. It moves, all right? Everyone to the right, 3 amos. Okay? So the Ran knows about that alternative, and he rejects it. Why does he reject it? Why does he reject it? Says the Halakha Ran, why is it impossible? The Yochi Heichem, you know, the command of Yudzayim. The Avir, Afilim, and Atzad Posel, B'Shlosha... If you have a gap of 3 tefachim between the wall and the schach, it's possible. Name a row and a dolphin, kilu niskarev. Just move it over, you know, three tfachim or more. Veloye posel el barabamas. Here's, look at the Ran's lumdus. She yoser kal the dolphin niskarev, kisha ensham schach mafsik. You want to move over. What's easier, gentlemen, in real life? Is it easier for me to move a wall over and encounter resistance all along the way? Or to move it over when there's nothing there? You know the answer to the question. Nothing there. It's easier. So halacha should also be easier if that's the lumdus of dofen akuma. Elevadai, hainu tana fisharon aschach kilu hu dofen, uchsheyesham avir mafsik, ein lo makim. Only if it's an uninterrupted continuum. You have a wall and you have a roof, and okay, once you get three terachim gap, can't say it. Lefishitazu hadavar boru shein ochlin ba'oso shir shebein adofen la'itzdaba. You can't sit and eat in that area between the dolphin and the itzdaba. Why can't you eat there? Very simple. Why can't you? Kevan shanudon and schach sholav kilu dolphin. You're not under the schach, you're under a dolphin. You can't eat under a dolphin. Forget it. Right, the pshat that he rejected. Hoya ev shalodun ul hakel al pidarko shal Rashi zal. What does it mean? Al pidarko shal Rashi zal. What does it mean? So if you have a fancy gemara on the side is an os tes. What did Rashi say? For roin schacha elyon amechubal adolfen harocho ki ilu hu. And that's what he said later on, etc. So, what does he mean? What do we mean? Al pidak or Rashi? Faker. According to Rashi, it's no good. Right? Because Rashi is the one who said that the wall curves. The answer is, when the Ran said that, he never quoted the name of Rashi. There was an earlier version of Rashi. The Aruch HaNer is so beferish that the Ritva and the Ran hold that Rashi learns the second shot, but that's the Madura Kama of Rashi. That's what Aruch HaNer says. I have now the beautiful, beautiful edition Aruch HaNer. This is tops. This is like top Bechon Yerushalayim, and it was paid for by some of the descendants of the Aruch HaNer come from my community. So got a copy, and it's beautiful. Mechon Yerushalayim, Tavshin Ayin Aleph. Really, it's beautiful. Beautiful footnotes. So I'll just read you, since I just got my hands on it today. It was lent out until today. He writes, I'll just read you the words, the Chiba Sarah Chaner, such a beautiful, beautiful sefer, where he, Nafdala Eman Aleph, and the sugi over here, I'll read you his words. Here it is. Lomar Shahoyal Ifnehem means the Ran and the Ritva, Madura Kama Shalashi, Ava Shalonu Hu Madura Basra. The Sham Chazav of Esfile Gamken Karan Veritva. That means the first picture, not the second picture. Footnote 92 in this beautiful edition, Kloli Rashi says that the Aruch HaNer says later on Dav Tezvav, Dav Chavav, and the Rosh Hashanah Dav Beis and Dav Ches, that there were Kama Maduras of Pirush Rashi, and other Gedol HaKorim say the same thing. Okay, so you know that Rashi had more than one Madura. Ah, okay, good. So far, so good, Rabbi Osai. Let me ask you a question. How can it be good? Let's say, according to the Madura Kama Rashi, you can't sit here. How can you sit here? Impossible. You're under a wall, not under a roof. According to the second Rashi, you can sit here. I thought the wall moved here. You're outside the wall. What'd you say? Psali Yosef and Asuka. Wait a second. But in the Gemara, that's the Gemara that you test. That's what they quote. Rabbi Osei, I'm going to show it to you inside. This is all Mefurish. It's not mine, but It has something to do with what I spoke to you about yesterday. We'll see. So let's see the Gemara Yutess one more time. We saw it, we'll see it again. Yutess Amud Aleph. This exact case, but it's a very major difference. The first version, Ula. Psaliyotzim nasuka, dinikasuka, my psaliyotzim nasuka, ma'ula, konim ayotzim me'achori asuka. I need three tvanas, you have. You need hatcha suka, you have. It's still smooth, you have. What's the chiddush? Legavoy, avdil, kamash balam. But our case is much worse. Because in our case, it's more than 20 amas above the ground. And there's an intervening wall. Imaginarily. See, I want to say it right. It's what I told you yesterday. These imaginary walls can work with kula, not lechumra. So it's an imaginary wall in order to be able to say, according to this, what they call by the Rashi, but there were comments, pshat. You move the wall over imaginarily in order to create a dofan akuma situation. The sukkah should be kosher. Then you're going to turn around and say, you can eat in the part which is behind the imaginary wall. That's not the same as the one that you test. Here, the three walls. There's only. What would there be? I mean, there are three walls, but it's kula lemala michav. Psaliyotze, there's a big brick wall in between. We can all say psaliyotze. We can order the wall all of a sudden. We'll accept the wall to be makshadof and akuma, and we'll ignore it to say psaliyotze minasuk. That's what I told you yesterday against the stipler. The stipler said if the extends this way, what do you say? Then it goes like this. They're always discussing this like this. Something along these lines. That's the whole discussion of the. Until back onto the problem. So you can't sit here. You have to sit Rosh Hashanah above here. But no one else agreed with that. No, this is what they yesterday. So I'm suggesting, I told you that earlier yesterday. Maybe the Pshat is it's considered this way, you know, Lakula, but not Lechumra. Same thing over here. This wall is the kula, not the chumra. I'm just making a suggestion. I have to go into it a little bit more, but that's just wanted to bring it to your attention. Okay. Yes.
Why does it matter if it's there or not?
This case or this case? This?
No, the case on the left.
This?
Yeah.
If the wall is here, right? So here I can sit because here's less than 20. You want to say it's good because the psayos are not so. But it's a big fat wall. What kind of psayos? In the case of the Gemara, there is no wall. The Gemara's case is no wall. I mean, there's no chasarin. What's the Gemara's case? The Gemara's case is like this.
Okay.
I have a wall like this. And I have, it's kosher here, it's kosher here. You might have thought this wall is for this side, not for this side, kamash malam. At the end of the day, it's perfectly kosher. You have three walls, it's hetra sukkah, still some mechams, there's nothing wrong with it. Here, as this wall counts, what do you mean? It's all above, it's all above 20 amos, the whole thing. There it is. We ignore the wall now. That's what I'm suggesting. We'll have to come back maybe later and see. Rabbi say we have to come back and see everything later. I'm going too fast for you, number one. Number two, I'm skipping things. So maybe Sunday we'll try to just recoup. Maybe Sunday we'll make it kind of a chazarish here, maybe just to review some of the things we spoke about this week. This way I will have a chance to catch up and we'll have a chance to fill in some of the blanks that we left out. Okay, so I'm driven to cover too much ground. And, okay, we'll do what we can. Rabbi said, let's go right. Okay, let's go weiter. Back to the Ran. Says the Ran. The cave of Arminon, the Miesh. Oh, very important. The cave of Arminon. It's a new paragraph in our version. The cave of Arminon, the Miesh Mitzvah Sitzpah Lekosel Arba Amas Psula. Follow, look. Take a look. According to Rabba, who even needs the Yitzhaba? The wall is going straight to the top. Look at my pictures. The wall's going to the top. According to Rav, the wall's to the top. Shalta Bain, it's never a problem if it's the Malam Yeshim. the whole assumption of the entire sugya. The entire sugya is against Rabbah. So says the Rabbah. See, so that Rabbah agrees with that. But so says the Ram. Okay. So says the Ram. Yeah.
As in, why can't it be that Lo Shalta Ba'ena if it's more than Dalaramas? Meaning, agree that if the walls go all the way up to the stocks, then it will be Mishalta Ba'ena, but that's only if you're in a sukkah where you're close enough to the walls. But if you're not close enough.
I don't think the Gemara makes that distinction on that base and mid base. The Gemara seems to say, quote the Rabbah, no matter what, as long as the walls go to the top, it works. Came nearer. Fine. Rabosai, so far, we're doing okay. Now, it's another important point. Rabosai, how high must the walls be? Let me ask you a question. How high must walls be? Huh? 10 tefach, correct. What if the wall is, what if the roof is 10 amas high and the walls are 10 tefachim high? What do you say?
Good asik.
So it's good. All right, good asik or without good asik, we'll see soon. Would you then apply the principle of Dofan Akuma? In other words, I have 10 tefachim of a wall, okay, and I go straight up and I bump into Schach Posel, 3 Amos. Can I then apply the principle of Dofan Akuma? What would you say? I'm asking you, Shasham is Svara. Can I draw you a picture? Yeah. I'll draw you a picture now that I have an art course. Tentvach. Okay. And now here's the roof. This is possible less than 4. This goes, it's this. Do you say Dofan Akuma in this case or not? I'm asking you a shot, what do you think? Would you say logically Dofan Akuma in this case, yes or no?
No.
Depends on what?
I learned up my
kuma. Who finished, yeah?
If it's the scar is,
yeah.
Move it over, move the 10th up over, it goes.
Oh, that's what I would say. If it's the scar, it should certainly work. If it's what?
If it bends, then
yeah.
It's
bend. Not so simple, because there's a big gap between here and there. How can I take it bend? You say good asik? Well, number one, we'll see soon. Maybe the Ranholds, you don't even need good asik. You don't say good asik. You see soon. Number two, if you do say good assets, who says that it's going to work to make a bending sukkah? So keep that in mind. Okay, we'll get to it, come back to it a little bit later. I want to keep these situations in mind for, I mean, the bottom line is Iran's going to say it's no good. But well, since we mentioned it already, there's a ritva about it. It's all in the mouth, okay? Here we go. Dofan Akum. He quotes this Madura Kam of Rashi, what I call. Footnote 228. It says, look in the Aruch HaNer. Anyone who really says this shot? Rav Nissen Gaon, Erev and Dal Lamed Beis. It's true. It's printed on the Sar of the Gemara, and if you want to look up an error, this is footnote 228, quotes that. He doesn't like it. What do you mean, Dofan Akuma? It's not Dofan Akuma. He's moving it over. It's not crooked. What's crooked? It's not crooked. Then he has the Kash of the Ranes from the Avir. Then he quotes what he calls from Tosfos, the way we have in Rashi. It bends. It bends. Then he says, for that reason, whatever, you can't sit there because it's you're under a wall. You're under a wall. Fine. That's what he says. Okay. Let's put this aside for a moment. Take a look at Rabosa, if you will, in the Korban Asanel Sivkotten Tuf. So we get the topic. Somebody asked me this question a couple of days ago. I said we're going to come back to it. So we're going to come back to it now. Okay. Let's read it with me together. Sivkotten Tuf, it's page Bays on the bottom. Besimin Tuf Reish Lamed Bays, because of Atur, Vafilu Ein Adolfin El Yud Tfachim, Vaga Gova Menu Harbe, Shonu Roan Adolfin Kilo Ola Lamala, Vaz Noma Adolfin Akuma Ad Kan. That's my case, right? I just drew you a picture. So what did you say before Pshat? It depends on the two Pshatim in Dolfin Akuma. Okay, so far so good. How do you know? He says, what forced him to this? The name of the Loma Mina Dolphin Akuma. Watch this. Kim Shad Dolphin Magil Eschach. Yeah. Im Kane, Shmamino, Tahani Piske Alochas Ditztava, the Lo Karabas. Who said so? Who said? Duran, exactly. Chosar, what does the word chosar mean? He tried mightily. Liel Simon Aleph. To Varias, Tilchsa Karava, Velo Karaba, Velo Maisi Raya Malchitz. Why did he bring this Raya? Why not? No. Must say, the call Hani Poskim Svilu. Dolphin Akuma, Afilu Ein Adolphin Megil Eschach. How do you like that? Meridik. Now, of course, you can say it goes two ways. The Radu did bring the Raya. Clearly holds Rabbi Osai that it would not work. That's Taka Ran Sheet, we'll see. But the Tur, who's based on his father, the Rush, did not bring the Raya of the Ran, means that it really, in such a case, he's saying it would work. That's why there's no right to rove against Rabbi from here. Umashatona Bach, the Hikal the Mitchi will the Meimar, Tod Armina Dolphin Akume after Shein at Fanas Magias Eschach, Hainu Dafka Kshu Pochos Migimel. Maybe only a difference of three tvachim or less between the top of the wall and the roof. Aval Begovoa Harbe, Shiotzi Mitoras Lovod, Minole, Vatur Posse Behedja, I feel it Shagagavoa Harbe. Oh, so Bach's trying to play both ends in the middle. Ein zu taina. The b'she'ein aschach rochach ben atfanas kim pochas migimel l'rabba nami kosher. You asked me this question this week. Someone asked me this question. We'll quote the rabba. Shalat ben, what if it's less than three tvachim? Didn't someone ask me that question? So we'll come to it. I know somebody asked me. I forgot who. Okay. So here it is. The machlokus between the Bach and the Korban Asano. The Bach holds it's no good. And the Korban Asanel says, it is good. The Tzfanas Magil Eschach Mikri. Meridik. That's the Machlokes. I like that. The other two is right. Against the Magil Avraham, also the Bach. Ta-da. Okay? This is an important Korban Asanel. Good. We're going to come back to some of the other Lumdusen about this Ran a little bit later on. Okay. So the Ran brought a riot, right? Now the Rush did not bring the Ran's riot. Why not? It's a great riot. The answer is, if you hold like the son of the Torah, there is no riot. Because of the case I have in that case. Ten Tfachim. Not Magil Eschach. It's still kosher. Say Dolphin Akum in that case as well.
So I mean, the Torah held the second idea, or you held, you could do both? Did he held the...
No. Let's read it again. Let's read it one more time. That's always good to chazer. It's chazer again. Simen tofresh, lama bet kosav atur, afilu ein dolphin, eli yud tfochim, vagagav omi menu harbe, shonero en adolphin, kilu ol adamala, was nama dolphin akum ad kan. He wants to know where the source is. So he thinks, says the Korban Asanel, he says, look, according to the according to Rabbah, right, if Tanis is a Yisrach, even more than 20, you would say, who needs an Itztaba? And the Rosh did not bring this Raya. Must be, these poskim hold that Dolphin Akum applies, even if Ein Adolphin Magia Lischach, and that's why you're going to need the Yitztaba, right? Because it's no, because there it's Lo Shalta Be'ena. You got it? That's what. Gevaldik. Okay. Terrific. Rabbo said, look on the Rosh Siman Dalet. He has a fascinating point over here. No. 1 second, please. Let's read end of Siman Gimel. Let's read. This is going to be a good chazara. He gives pictures. You see the beautiful pictures on the side? Nice, same as we have printed in our Shas. He quotes Rashi. Rowan Schach Elyon Amachubal Adolfan Arocha Kilim and Adolfan Atzma Vakokum, the way we have Rashi, Badura Basra. From we can't vote in this as Govim Isfasa, it's Vilamala. Alpha Bishamitav Gov Nimsha Klabe Chutz. Hov Rosho Eno Kola. That's exactly what we just saw. We saw that in the Ran as well. According to this interpretation, which the Ran accepts, again, so he calls Rashi. So then, okay, that's what it says. Mm-hmm. Ashayla, what'll happen, Rabbi Osai, if the schach on top of those three amas is stolen, chas v'shal, stolen.
He's using the schach that
he stole. Yeah, the guy stole schach and put it in those three amas on top. What do you say? What's it then?
It's fine.
It's good.
What do you steal the walls? Is it good or bad? Steal the walls is good? Well, not everyone agrees. Assuming if you steal the walls, it's no good, then what do you say? No, say the same thing you said before. If stealing walls is no good, and you have
a wall.
So you have a stolen wall, so what's it then?
So
if the pshat is the wall is crooked, what's it then? Yes, good or no good?
No good.
No good. What if it moves over? If the wall moves over,
then
it should be good because that's out of the sukkah. Ha ha! It's an afkamina, you see. Oh boy. Yeah. Fine.
Why is stealing the walls not good?
I'm sorry.
Why can't you steal the walls? Don't you say that if you build your, you steal a beam and build it?
Ah, Takonis Merish, yeah, that's true. That's only if you have a beam which you put into a hole. It's just loose. You're correct. Rambam Bakama says that in certain cases you can keep the beam and pay the money. Right. But this is not that kind of a case. Not that kind of a case. Not that kind of a case. Fine. Now I've also had the Russian Siman Dalet. Kosev Ritz Geis. This is important. Uvilvad shlotei ha-itztaba gavoa miyutfachim. The reshus acheresi. The itztaba is more than 10 tfachim high. Then there's no heter. Why? The reshus acheres. V'liadana tam amai. Might have committed reshus acheresi. Keva de amar dofan akuma mikol tzad. Harei itztaba mukefes mechitzis umuvdeles mishara sukkah. V'damya the sukkah omedes b'rosh agag the reshus acheresi legabe chotzer, that should still be good. U'bal iter chshir gamken afilu gavoa yud. So he doesn't understand why the Ritz Geis is so strict. Pshh. Why is he so strict? Why is he so strict? Rabbi Yossi, I want you to open up the Mishnah Berurah over here. It's very, very important, if you don't mind, to see how he analyzes this, because the Shulchan Aruch paskens against the Ritz Geis. Of course, not surprising, right? The Rosh, the Rosh usually wins, because the Tur followed the Rosh, and you know how it is. Shulchan Aruch followed the Tur. Take a look and see. Simen Tov Reish Lamed Gimel. Look at, there we are. Sif Zayin. In Bonisba B'emtza Yesh Mimena Lakoso Cholzad Pochas Mi'arba Ames Kshera Ala Itzba Afilu Im Gavoa Yosa Me'asara. Nu, against whom? Ritz Geis. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Chav Gimel. V'lo aminan de begova kozer he cholekes reshus liatzma ven aksolim shayochin lo klal. We know what the Ritz Geis story is. Ein aksolim shayochin lo klal. There's no relationship between the walls on the outside and this platform, which is in this world all unto itself. Okay, everyone give me so far? Now you'll say, when's the last time you saw a sukkah with an itzibah? So it's not the gael and mice, who cares? So I'm going to quote you again something which is written here. This is, huh?
Sukkah, you ran over.
No, nothing to do with, no. Mm-hmm. The Biyana sukkah, yeah, that could be the Biyana sukkah. There's no gael and mice. I didn't measure it exactly.
That also means that the sukkah has to be exactly 20 amos plus less than 10 tefach.
That's correct.
It's a very, very specific.
Right, that's exactly. It's hard to believe. Yeah, Shalat Tamtim came out. Yeah, especially we don't know what an Amma is. We've got to figure out what an Amma is. But it comes up, Rabbi Yossi, in an amazing context. And this history, so I'm going to tell you history which no one else knows. You'll be privy to history. Okay, Rabbi Yossi. Rav Shechter Shlita has an estate of Be'ikvei Atzon, page Kuf Chavov, a theory which was developed in Riverdale over 40 years ago. I still remember like yesterday. We're going, taking Rav Shechter around the Riverdale area, but it's just, you know, getting started. I was with another Rebbe in the yeshiva, so the three of us looking around, and all of a sudden he says, this is no good. So we asked him, why is it no good? He said, you can't jump from one ground level to another ground level. So we asked him, but where's the break? Where's the pirtza? Usually if the wall's no good, there has to be a break in the wall. There's no break. Doesn't matter, it's no good anyway. That theory, to my knowledge, in his mind, was first propounded on the streets of Riverdale way back in 1976. Sure enough, he printed it in Be'ikvei Atzon. Page Kuf Chavav, years later, he says, listen, he says, for example, he wanted to make a tremendous chumrah, unbelievable chumrah. His first case was the Tzuras HaPesach case. He said, if you have a Tzuras HaPesach, which goes from here to here, and in the middle, there's a 10 tefach high area, it kills everything. No, nothing is good. I'll just draw you a simple picture. This is Maisa B'Chayom and all the air in the world. You have a Tzuras HaPesach. One, you have a Konabikan. You know, there's a wire up here going from here to here. You've all seen the air in your various cities. So what happens in the middle? Very nice, terrific. What could be bad? In the middle somewhere, you have this little thing, whatever it is. It could be a mailbox. It could be a bus, you know, stop. Whatever it is. If it's more than 10 tefachim and it's in the middle of the wire goes right over it, no good. Why? Because there's no ground level that can't go. I want to go. I'm just going to follow the wires right over my head. So I go, boop, bam, to a wall. So, let's get around it, but it doesn't go. But then he said, more than that, in my case, in Riverdale, there were four walls. There were actual fences, walls, regular. Still no good. where's the break? There's no break. It's no good anywhere. You have to have, you can't jump ground levels. That was his chiddush. Where'd he get it from? The Ritz Geis. I mean, I don't know if, honestly, I have to know, you have to mainly ask him. Did he say the theory, could he base himself on the Ritz Geis? Way back when? Or did he say the theory based on his being knowing Kol HaTorah Kula? And then he found the Ritz Geis, which indicates that he's right. I don't know these three. Maybe I'll ask him one day. That's what he said. This is a very big problem in many Erevim if you accept this Chumrah. Yeah. So, of course, I asked the Makasha, we don't pass like the Ritz Geis. We just read in Shulchan Aruch. We don't pass the Ritz Geis. We just read in Shulchan Aruch. So he writes in Bikvei Atzon, again, the same page. Shall I take this? The Ritz Geis is really right. The Rush argues. No, for a separate reason. You know what the separate reason is? More than 20 amis in height is not a psul in the sukkah itself. You know what we spoke about already yesterday? It's a machlokas, the Rabbi Natama, the Rashi, the Bala Michov is a schach posul, or it's not really posul. With me? That was a svara. But the problem is, I mean, it's very nice, but that's not what the Mishnah Berurah says. No, we just read, and the Mishnah Berurah got it from the Taz. But what the Mishnah Berurah quotes here in Chav Gimel is taken from the Taz, Sivkotin Ches. Right? Look what it says. Again, one more time, the Mishnah Berurah of Gimel. V'lor minun, the begova bezeh, kozeh, hu cholekas, v'shul siyatzma, v'enak solem, shayochim lo klal. You know what this came up again? Oh, unbelievable. This came up again in the Manhattan era of controversy. According to Rav Shech Leshalita, it's basically impossible to make a real good Erev in Manhattan. Not because of the reasons that the other posts give. It's too big. It's 600,000 people or whatever. Maybe it's Central City. No, no. They're bridges. So what's the problem? Make a mechitza, make a tourist by the bridge. No. All these bridges in New York have many approaches to the bridges. You've all been on the bridges. If you drive bridges in New York, they have one approach, another approach. So I thought, Aniyah Katan, that the walls around Manhattan, assuming there are really walls there, which they assuming there really are walls, will relate to all the areas within those walls. Rabbi Shechter said, no, you can't jump ground levels. So all those ramps, if you will, going to the bridges, they have no walls. No walls. You can't just fall off. But those things may not count as walls because very often there are gaps in them. They're not necessarily 10 tefachim high or whatever it may be. I thought that the walls around Manhattan relate to those ramps. He said, no. It's a similar shaila, right? Because it's a separate ground level. That was his famous expression, separate ground level. So I'm tiny, based on the Ritz Geis, he's right. But when the Rush rejected the Ritz Geis, why did he reject them? Not because of Rav Shef, the Shlita Svara of Schach above 20 is not really a psul. That's not what he said. I think the Taz is more correct, Mishnah Berurah is more correct. Because you don't say exactly what Rav Shechter said. What? The Gova, Bezei, Cholekas, Shus Yasma, Venak, Solim, Shayochin, Lo Klal. The outside walls don't relate to that platform. That's exactly Rav Shechter's Svara. And what does Mishnah Berurah say? We don't say that. We reject that according to the Rosh Shulchan Aruch. So that's why it's so important. You see, you're learning Masechta Sukkah. I told you, really fundamental learning Erevin. And this is a very important Nakuda, which you can find here in my Sefer, in Shabbos, page Reish, Samach, Zayin, Teches, where I mentioned this whole thing. But I want to look it up later on. Thought I'd tell you something. Learning a lot of Hichos Erevin here as we learn Masechta Sukkah. Okay? Now we come to something fascinating. And that is the Itztaba in the middle. So, someone drew me a picture this morning about four different people sitting on four different sides.
Yeah.
You drew it to me? Let's take a look. That's quoted in the Dogal Meravava, which is found in the Sharat Zion, Sivkot and Chav Gimel. It's right here. Before we started Mishnah Berurah Chav Gimel, now the Sharat Zion Chav Gimel. Okay, what does he say in Sharat Zion Chav Gimel? He's explaining what it says in the Shulchan Aruch Siv Zayin. Okay, what's the Chiddush in Siv Zayin? Gam bekama ruchos bevas achas armina dofan akuma binyanenu. Who said so? Gemara. It's all Gemara, right? Vegam kan lav davk al itzdeba. The memalka b'shein dofen kagon negar pesach muta misham. How do you pronounce it? Pasol? That's how the rabbis call it pesel. But I thought people called it psal. He calls it pasol. So now there are at least three different ways to vocalize, vowelize those three magic words. I had a little bit of a shakosa. The meish of dalat fanas. Vesh the chol sad pochas midalat amas. Four walls. Kol asuka ksheira. Vesh etzba shir suka vitamo. This is now in brackets. The bechol pa meish lomer. Ani mechash if ze kipsal hayotze. Ushar gimel tfanas. Kedofan akuma. Hey. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, all four say, I want it my way. Wow. Ein bekur Yaakov de mitzadei lahat ezeh dafka b'shnei b'nei odom. Right? I told you, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. That's what we took before. Right? Shezeh yochol l'shamash mitzad zeh v'yachshav also kipsal utzadam achem dov nakumu. Odom achi yochol l'shamash mitzad shekenegdo kein v'yachshav v'psal shekhaver yoshev tachtav kidof shu yoshev tachtav v'psal yotzim nesukah. Brackets. V'zeh mutter. Why is it mutter? And I should call it a tour with Sima Tov and Shlamet Beis. Who was Shlamet Mogan Avram? Sivkot and Dalet. We'll see what that means. Uva Odom Echad Tzoruch Iyun. Not so simple that one person can sit on right? Sunday he'll sit here, Monday he'll sit there, Tuesday he'll sit there, Wednesday he'll sit there. Wait a minute, mister, be consistent. Which one is the Dofen Akuma? Which one's the Psal? You can't just change like this. That's what the Bikur Yaakov suggests. The Bikur Yaakov, as I told you, is the Aruch Haner. His parish on the Shulchan Aruch. Do we have it in our Beis Medrash?
Yeah.
Bikur Yaakov?
In the back of the Aruch
Haner. Right, but it's not in the back of this one. That's the problem. This is a beautiful one, but the one our Beis Medrash one has it in the back. Okay, good. I have another edition, again, by the same descendants, just Bikur Yaakov. I'll try to remember to bring it in. I don't think the Beis Medrash has that one, right? They don't have
no.
Bring that. I'll try to bring that one in. Also, beautifully done. Okay, so we have to. He's a main man over here. This is what the Dogel Meravava says, the Sharatzion quotes. Okay. Fine. So now we come. I promised you, and I know I talk about Chumash, but I promised you that I'd mention this last thing for today. The Kasha that the Gemara, Mal the Tamer, seems to be against the Beferish Mishnah. Okay, we'll talk about that Kasha right now, and then after that we'll close the Gemara and open the Chumash. The Gemara has four lines in the bottom. Mal the Tamer Dofan Akuma Ruach Achas Amina. Abel Ko Ruach Ruach Lok Lo Kamash Malon. Yeah? Okay, great. So, the Maram on Afu Zion of an Aleph. Give a look, I think it's on the Makoros. Zayin Amanah from the Maram in Lublin in the back under the Marasha. Yud Zayin. No, is that where it is? Wrong place. They made a mistake. Oh, no. So Maram is here. I'm sorry. So Maram is here. I made a mistake. Maram is here. Dav Dalet. It's a reference to Rashi, Dav Yuzayin. We'll see you soon. Oh, right. The first piece of Dav Dalet. Ma'od etayim adofan akuma miruch achas arminan. Avra de mas nisin. The bayis shenivchas meforish Rashi. Oh, that's the Rashi Yud Zayin. Shenivchas biemtza, right? That the middle of the roof caved in. Imkein shamina nami minei. That mina dofan akuma mikol ruach haruach. Right? Because in the middle, that means there are four sides. Yesh lomar the shani hacha the lochaz yol the dofan Lo hava aminan dofen akuma lechol ruach. Whoa. So if you have material, which is chazi le dofen, then you would say lechol ruach. If not, not. That requires explanation. One technical answer, we'll come back to the first one, which is much more lumdish. Ode shloma. Hoda pirish rashi shenifchas b'yemtza hainu lefi ha'emes. Tashminen hocha daminen dofen akuma lechol ruach. Aber ich lade das Schmieden hoch und gab jetzt Zibber. Ich habe mir vorstellen, weil hier dabei ist, ich habe mir nicht gesagt, weil ich bin ein Zad, 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 weil ich bin ein But the Hamid would have said differently. Okay, that's good. But the, what's the lump the first terrors? Zwei dinim it gets like, right? If it's Roy, then you would say it in all four directions. But if it's not, not, well, apparently it must become Zwei dinim, right? That's what it sounds like. Did you bring me the Rav's Sefer? Did you bring it? Okay, we'll say it about Pen. There are two halachas. See, you have two pictures? Two pictures. The picture closest to me, we bend the wall to include the roof, right? Further picture, we move the wall over. So we think it's either or, binary, either this or that. No. No. If the schach is kosher, if the schach is kosher, right? Just it's 20 amas high, so it's not, the mice is not going to work, then we bend it. Backwards. If the schach is kosher, like in the case of a bias, just 4 amas away, but it's not 20 amas high, then we bend it. If it's 20 amas high, it's considered to be puzzle, then we don't bend it, then we move it. And when you move it, you might think it only works in one direction and not in four directions. Let's chazer again. If you are bending it in the case of the bias, then it for sure works in all four directions. What's the difference between one or four? If you're moving it, then perhaps it only works in one direction and not in four directions. Now, where does this all come from? It's fascinating. Is a Rambam. We didn't speak about the Rambam yet, but the Rambam is a very, very big question. What did he hold about this fundamental question? What was the Rambam's opinion? What did the Rambam say about this critical question? What's the pshat? Did the Rambam hold the first picture? Did the Rambam hold the second picture? Anybody know? Well, do you see the Rambam? And who has the Rambam in front of him? Nobody? Okay, I will read it. I'll put it on the screen. Put it on the screen. It's okay. I have my Rambam in front of me, but since not everybody has, we'll put it on.
I'm not sure the screen's working.
It's Rambam.
Oh, it doesn't work today. Okay.
So,
I'm sorry?
Which halacha?
It's on the Maram HaKamis. Perek Dalid. Halacha Yud Dalid. If you also don't have the Rambam, look in the back, at least have the Mishpat HaMolek. They quote the Rambam, you know, the first, but at least have the Rambam. Again, Hilchos Sukkah, Perek Dalid. Halacha Yudal. Says the Rambam like this. Bona itzba b'yemtza im yesh b'sfas itzba l'kosel arba amas l'kol ruach psula pokos mi arba amas k'sheira. Why? This is the word of the Rambam. Uki'ilu ha-mechitzos nogos b'yitzba. Rabbi said, just be honest. What do those four words sound like? He moved the wall, right? So the Magad Mishnah says. He says, Pshat, Pirish Rabbeinu, for those who have my Franklin Ramas, the last narrow line on the right, Sheroan Ki'ilu HaMechitzas Nogos Mitzvah Chen Pirishu HaGaonim. With the Ram Lomadnu Shein Mehem Achshirin HaSukai Dekach. V'achronim Zal Mephoshim B'zeh Pirish Acher U'poslin Yeser HaSukah Chutz Min HaItztabah. That's an interesting question, whether the machlokos in Rashi and the Rabbeinu Yeshaya should depend upon this issue, which way you go. That's what it sounds like in the Magad Mishnah, but we're not going to go there right now. Has the Kesef Mishnah, what are you saying? How can you say that? The Rambam doesn't hold that way. Rambam holds in Perek Hey Alocha Yudalad Fakert. Keep your hand here if you have it, and Dalad Yudalad, and go to Hey Yudalad. That's the Rambam. Bayis shenivchas b'yamtso v'sichech al malkam apchas. Tada. Im yesh mitzvas haschach ha'chosh v'skos l'arbam as psula. Pachas b'kam. Watch this. Roen ke'ilu ha'kosel nekam. V'chosh v'zeh haschach ha'posel miguf ha'kosel. Ukshir. No. Which way does it say? Which picture? The other one. There's a chastima in the Rambam. So the Kesef Mishnah is bothered by this. He thinks that the second Rambam is the real truth. Will the real Rambam feel stand up? It's the second one. Perek Hay. I Perek Dal. Look what he says. Unbelievable. Docha. U'mash ha'kosef kan u'chi'ilu ha'machitzas nogos b'itztaba. Turning the page into Frankel. Lo niskavein lomar sha'machitzas dafka nogos v'aschach kosher. Elaloma ki ilu amechitzas nogos liitzdeva ve'enan meruchokos kloma roan kilu neka makoso v'yechoshev oso schach mikuf akoso. And he says in Perek Hey. Wow. Unbelievable. Dochak, no? The Rambam says ki ilu Hamachitzas nogos bitzah. It doesn't mean nogos. It means you curve it on top, and it's on top of the yitzdeva. It's not the simple word of it. Nogos. Nogos means it's in the same vertical line. That's what the Kesef Mishnah says. Chiddush Nifl. Well, 1 minute, not done yet. He says, Abalim ein atfanos magios lek alemei madofan akuma. Against the Torah. Right? And it makes sense. Since he likes that shot, that's go to the top. Yup, that's what you said earlier. If you move it over, it should work, even if it's 10 Tefachim high. That's already found in the Kesef Mishnah over here. So if you want to reconcile the two Rambams, there shouldn't be a Dochak of the Kesef Mishnah, which is a bit of a Dochak, it seems to me. Right? So you have to say that there were two dinim. My Rebbe was a brisker. Two dinim. Yeah. What's trapped in the two dinim? If it's more than 20 amas high, we don't say that we curve it. Why? Because even the part that you curve, in effect, is, quote, puzzle. It's more than 20 amas high. You and I would say, well, who cares? That's only a wall. It's not the schach, it's a wall. No, the Rambam seems to hold. Can't do that. It's more than 20 amas high, you can't bend it because it's all puzzle. It's labeled as puzzle. Anything above 20 amas is labeled as puzzle. So what do you have to do? You're stuck. I said, Perek Dal, what did he say? The other did. Pull out the other picture. What did he say? Kila mechitzas nogos bitzvah. You move over the wall. No. If you move over the wall, let's move over the wall and by bias also. Why by bias did he say that it curves? Let's move over the wall there too. Everyone with me? Now why you say that they move over the wall? Yeah. He says, because there, in the case of the bias, it's chazer again, lush of the Rambam. Ikifua b'davar she'ein mesachking bo. It's mamish posel mamish. He wants to suggest if it's posel mamish, then that is ma'akev, what we call moving over. What's moving over mean? Moving over is a halachic tziruf. Doesn't work if it's posel mamish. What's the havamina? You're only ma'akev and dalad ruchos. In other words, in the bias where it's less than 20. So you just curve the wall. That's for sure works now. What's the difference? I curve one wall, I curve four walls. What's the difference? What's you're curving walls, Rabbi say Mali Echad, Mali Arba. So we think Gemara knew about that. When it comes to curving walls, fine. There you curve, you can't push it over there because it's the schach is fundamentally a puzzle because it's made from bricks, for all we know. Right? But it's under 20, so you just curve the wall. The Gemara knew 1 and 4 is all the same. Oh, but now we're talking to the original Gemara, the Malam Michaf. So the Malam Michaf, we said that we say bending is not going to work. Why? Because the bend is also more than 20. The rest of the world holds. Who cares? It's only wall. No, the Rav says we do care about the Rambam because it's above 20. So if it's above 20, you're not going to say it's going to curve over and become kosher. It's going to be puzzle no matter what. Puzzle is a wall. Puzzle is schach. No matter what. You follow what I'm saying? In a bias, when you curve it and consider it a wall, it's fine. It's a wall 10 amas high. Fine. But if you're going to curve it and it's 25 amas high, it's going to have a shem psul of mala mechav. Even though it's functioning as a wall, it's still no good. So what you have to do is you have to move it. Right? That's what Rambam says. Here you move it, there you bend it. Two Rambams, two different things. Oh, so when you're moving it, listen carefully. That's not, when you move it, that's very tricky. As we said before, you're not really moving it. But we said before, if you're under the wall, it's no good, you can't sit there. We suggested, we saw it earlier in the Ram. If you move it, maybe you can sit there. Well, I have to kash it. Wait a minute, you can sit there. It's outside the wall. So we said, well, it's you move it lekula, not lechumra. It's a halachic tziruf. You with me? It's a halachic tziruf. So the Rav said, if it's a halachic tziruf, you might have thought you only say it in one direction. Why one direction? Well, we all know that sukkah needs two real walls, and the third wall, even a tefach is going to be good. We'll see the details later on. So even a tefach is going to be good. So the svar of tziruf is also good. But you might have thought that the svar of tziruf does not work in four different directions. Kamashma that it does. The Rav's answer is beautiful. It's chazad the kasha of the teretz. The kasha of the maram, the ritvor is the kasha. Long before the maram. How can you have a mouth the tamer and four walls in four directions? You don't see it off in akuma. It's enough in the mishnah. By shenifchas. Again, assume that Rashi's pshat is giving us another push, not only the maskon. So the answer the Rav gave was based upon the Rambam, it's a steer in the Rambam, because the Mishnah is Nidchak. The Magamish didn't say what he's going to do with Perakei. The Rav said it's Tzvei Dinim. Two halachas and Dov and Akuma. They're both right, both pictures are correct. In the case of the situation where it's a Bayash Nifchas, so the roof is made out of bricks, metal, whatever it may be. So for sure it's puzzle. But what you're going to do is you're going to bend the walls. And when you bend the walls are only 10 amas high or 5 amas high. No problem. So you bend the walls. In the case of Lamala Mechav, the Rav's big Kiddush was, you can't bend the walls. Why? Because you bend the wall is more than 20 amas high. And that's no good. It's no good for anything. No good for a wall. It's no good for a sky. Just no good. So what do you have to do? You have to move the wall over. How do you move the wall over? Well, it's not really, really puzzle. I mean, it's the Malam Echav, but it's regular Psalos Goran V'Yekav. So you can move the wall. In the case of the bias, which is made from metal, you can't move the wall. So neither din works in the other direction. You follow what I'm saying? The Tzvei Dinim, one works only in the comes to a dough from the Malam Echav. To move it over only works because it's not really puzzle. We saw the rush. It's just Psalos and the Goran V'Yekav in the wrong place. And you can't bend it because if you bend it, it's also puzzle more than 20 amas high. So you have to move it. Case of the bias, you bend it because it's only 5 amos off the ground, and you can't move it because there's metal in the way. That's a ram. That's a steer in the ram. There's two different in it. So now, one second. So the most mild attainment is like this. Mild attainment, we all know very well when it comes to bending walls, as if it's one wall, four walls, you bend it, done, no problem. But the idea of moving, that's much more flimsy, that's much more abstract, ephemeral. You can't really moving it. So you might have thought that's a unique kula in the third wall comparable to shlisha fil tefach. Kamash v'lan, no. That then also works in all directions. That's the etzma b'yamza. Kamash v'lan. Now what's your question?
If you learn that, because the Gemara by Bayash Nivkos says that even Bayash Nivkos, which in the Tzrivus over there, it says that even Bayash Nivkos, because it's mimin aschach, it's only possible, Rashi says, because of Tassav Lomina Asui, that can you then still say that the bending wall, that you need to bend the walls?
Good question. Excellent question. Let's look at the one that you're dying for a moment. It's an excellent question. Excellent. Design of an Aleph. Okay, Baish and Ifchas. Vesicher al Gabav, Ish ben a kosel, Vesicher al Amas Psula. Unless it's kosher. Says Rashi. It's an important Rashi. I don't know if you read this Rashi yet. Psula. The Avir posel, Mishlo Shafilim and Atzad. Well, that's the Rashi. That's in the first line. If there's more than three tefachim from the wall to the schach, it's no good. Umikana ani omer, umafarish, hoda amina, the besach posel and Atzad, amina dofan akuma. Lachshar arba amas, had the chashvin leschach ki ilu min hadofen. Right, the roof is part of the wall. V'nekav it bent. V'nichvaf lemalo. Ubaviru lekel meimarachi. You can't say that when there's no one there. V'eni mefarish the way he learned apparently according to someone in Madura Kama. Right, changed his mind. Roan as hadofen ki ilu hu okum v'holech takas aschach. The word okum is a little bit of a problem. Why is that called okum? It's straight. It just moved over. We'll have to get to it. See how much moved over. Did the top move over? Did the bottom move over? Did it all move over? Then he says, "Pasul umag takas aschach pasul magiel the aschach kosher moti es pasul menasuka diim kain gabi avir nami nevachas." We saw in the Ran, Ran said it the kav chomer. Okay, fine. Now bayish nifchas v'sicher v'gagol nifchas b'em so rochel menatfanas v'chol tzad v'sicher kama pras b'em so v'nimtz tikkus habayis she psula. Why is it? What's pasul? What's wrong with it? Tase velo min ha'asui. What after the aleph? Mafsek as min tefanas aschach is kosher. Says the Gemara. Says Rashi. Yesh min asichuk hechsher hakosher lekosel dal amas posel. The b'ar ba'amas lo nema al moshe misina dofen akuma. V'pochus mikshere lo chush misinai. Rowan tikwas habayas kilu hu dofen shenekam lemala. Enkan schach posel lifsol asuka. V'yishan tarazeh. What did the Gemara say? That's Rashi. What about the Gemara? The Gemara said Tazal Manasseh?
Yeah, not Tazal Manasseh, but it says it's Min HaKosher.
Where's that?
Kolani
Lama Leitzvichot, Yash Min HaBayash Nivchot, Mishim Dahani Mechitzot, the Bayas Avina. Avachot, the Megav Saksad, the Mechitzot, the Avachot, the Avina. Fine. Aim alone. Tzvichot. Yash Min HaHani Tata, Mishim Dahani HaKosher. Sukha Gedola, Shikifu, ah. Schach kosher. Why is this called schach kosher? What does Rashi say?
Mimin
schach kosher. Upsule mishem tas avlo mena osu. So you want to know why is that more difficult to penetrate by moving over than schach lemala michof? That's your kash. According to my Rebbe's pshat. That's a good kasha. Being the Rishimus on Sunday?
Yeah.
I mean, I have one in my office, I but you'll be into the Shia. So we'll end with a kasha. Always good to end with a kasha. We talked about Halacha. Then we'll close the Gemaras and spend a little time talking about the Parsha Shavua, Parsha Noach. Okay? Good. Good kasha. Good kasha. Make a note of it. Okay, try to figure it out. Pashas Noach Abosai. Oh. Read in Pashas Noach. Vayavorach Elokim es Noach v'ezbonov. Vayomlem. Pru revu umilu es oretz. Rabosai, didn't we have pru revu in Esther's parsha? Are you paying attention? Yes or no? Didn't we have pru revu in Parsha's Bereshis? So what did it again for? We had pru revu. We had it already.
It's
Chazar. Chazar, huh? Like we have to do Chazar on Sunday. Okay, so it's Chazar. That's the end. Chazar, very, very good. Chazar. Then a few psukim later, v'atem pru revu shir suvaretz revuva. What's happening over here? I want to share with you an interesting idea from the Sefer Meshech Chochma. The Meshech Chacham has an interesting question. He wants to know, why is it that men are chayav in Peru Revu, but women are not chayav in Peru Revu? What kind of question is that? Kacha, Gzeres HaKosov. If you remember, we read last week, Peru Revu the first time, Umilu es arz v'chiv shuha. That's in the first parak of Bereishis. Pasuk Chaf Ches v'chiv shuha. Says Rashi, Lamech ish shadako lichbosh. Men are warriors. Says the Sifsei Chachamim. Mitzuva piri v'rivya. Veloha isha, men are chayav and women are not. He wants to know, but why should that be? Why should that be? He gives two fascinating answers, each one more fascinating than the next. The first answer is that bearing children is dangerous. You know, we think of it today as it's not a problem. If you read about the infant mortality, not the infant mortality, the maternal fatality rates in the ancient world, Rahmanul Islam, very, very high. Look, we have four imahos, right? How many died in childbirth? What? I don't think it was 25%, but it was a high percentage. It was not something which could be just ignored. Maternal fatality rates in childbirth. Remember, they had no, presumably, it was like a hemorrhage, right? And they couldn't stop the bleeding. Did they have the ability to do cesarean sections? Could be also not. So the mother couldn't, that's the whole sugya we learned in Sanhedrin. So from you learn Sanhedrin, you know that the sugya is dafayin beis. The baby threatens the mother's life. So you dismember the baby to save the mother's life. That's a messy business. And there'd be cases in which you can't do it. And the mother dies because of the pressure from the fetus. Today we do a C-section. They didn't have operating theaters. I mean, dangerous. Says the Meshech Chachma, he thinks Torah would not want to impose an obligation on a person to do something which is dangerous. So to say that a woman is chayav and puruvu would not be right, because it's dangerous. Dangerous. Women want to have children. Why are they taking a chance? So the answer is, yes, they take a chance. Whenever they become pregnant, they're taking a chance. It's a reasonable risk. Women have a very strong desire to have children, and they take a risk. That's one of the ironies. What did Rachel Amanda say to Yaakov Avinu? Remember what he said? Havali banim. What's the next four words? Parshas Vayetze. Havali banim v'yim ayin meisanoch. Give me children, if not I'm going to die. So what happened at the end of the day? She had children, and she died in childbirth. It's an irony of history. So the Meshech Chachma says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to impose this obligation upon women to have children, because he's telling them, do something which is putting yourself in danger. Of course, to counteract that, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into nature, women are desperate to have children, even more than men. Men are also pretty desperate. Women are more desperate even to have children, as we see in various stories in Tanakh. And in the olden days, remember, everyone blamed childlessness on the woman. Until fairly recent medical history, no one understood that half of the problems with childlessness come from men. They don't understand why. As long as the couple lives normally together, what could be wrong with the man? Oh, we know so much about the low sperm counts, no sperm. They didn't know about these things. Antiquity was the woman. So she always saw this as her, and she was desperate to have children. So of course she's going to do whatever. As a matter of fact, that's grounds for divorce. The Gemara says in Masechta Yevamos that from a man's perspective, there's grounds, he's required to divorce his wife after 10 years. Take it back. not required to divorce, so I can take another wife. Right? It says if a man's married for 10 years, no children, he should not be mizbatla from Peruru. So, you know, by Torah law, and even by Talmudic law, I can take another wife. But a woman can't take another husband, obviously. So what's she going to do? So the Gemara says, if the woman says to her husband, listen, I need someone to take care of me in my old age, I need someone to bury me, very dramatic. So he has to give her a divorce, because she's let her marry somebody else. Because, you know, even the Chazal knew that maybe it's because of him. So you see how desperate women are for children, for various reasons. And therefore, naturally, they don't want to have children. But to make them obligated in the full formal sense, as men are, says the Meshech Chochma, he thinks it's not right to put someone in danger. Everyone understand? Got it? Yes?
But like by commanding men to have children, are you also requiring the women to have the children?
So the Ran says in Mesech the Kiddushin, the Gemara says, Daf Mem Aleph famously, Mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho, Mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho. So there's a discussion there in the Ran, another Rishonim, what's a mitzvah? He has a mitzvah, a puruvu. What's her mitzvah? She's part of a puruvu, the first thing on Yavamas. Rashi quotes in the Chumash Parashat Bereishis. So he says, well, since he can't have a child without a woman, so therefore it's also a mitzvah for her to assist him to fulfill the mitzvah. So of course, obviously you can't have, yeah, you need a woman to have a child.
So at that point, why not just command a woman to have a child?
Because we don't want to command it to her, because then she's going to be, in effect, required by the Torah to do something which is maybe dangerous. So we're not going to command it to her. No particular woman is obligated to undergo this danger. Men should try to find a wife who's willing to take this risk, as you know, whatever it may happen to be. And that way, if the man can't find the woman who's willing to marry him, so what can he do? He's an onus. Does somebody never get married? So if they try their best to get married and they didn't find a wife, anusim, they can't help it. Come to 120 years. One of the first questions they ask you, you know what? They ask you, what are the questions they ask when you get up there? The source of Asata Bemuna, right? Kavati Vilma Torah. And what else did they ask you? Asakta Bepiri of Arabia. It's up there in the first few questions. They'll say, I went on 1,000 dates with Rabbi Shalom. No one wanted to marry me. Why? They didn't want to take a chance. They were afraid of the danger of pregnancy. whatever the reason is. He tried his best. This is reason number one given by the Sefer Meshachach. Reason number two is in a certain sense even more striking. Rabosai, we all know that in today's world divorce is very common. Unfortunately. It wasn't always this way. I've often said when I moved to Queens in 1958, I know exactly the year when it was, we moved to a shul called Young Israel of Kew Garden Hills. Have you heard the shul? Huge shul, with 400 members at the time. And in the whole big shul, they whispered, you know, there's a guy sitting there in the front who's divorced. Like he has horns. I'm giving you, this is the mentality of 1958. Alright? Now, nearly 60 years later, I mean, divorce is everywhere. Everywhere you turn is divorce. Everywhere. You want to know why? That's for all the different shmooze, but the Bekitz and Nimritz, the two main reasons why. One is that Jews can't be Goyim. In the Goyish world, divorce wasn't that common 60 years ago. It existed, but it wasn't that common. Now it became more common, but it became, yeah. You know, in the olden days, way olden days, if a person was divorced, he was disqualified as a ever to run for office. Forget it. The divorced person, forget about it. Now, it's almost a badge of honor. We'll discuss present incumbents. I don't want to get this too painful. But, yeah. So, no. That's number one. Reason number two, not completely separate from reason number one, money. I think money is the root of all evil. You know, you read about it in Koheles short while ago, right? Shabbos Chalom Moed Sukkos. Osher Shomer LeBalav LeRa'aso. So much money, so it causes divorce for many reasons. Number one, people have more money, they begin to have different lifestyles, and they get out there in the world and unfortunately do things which they shouldn't be doing, and are attracted by things they shouldn't be attracted to. And number two, I'm sorry to say it in this crass way, they can afford to get divorced. Although unfortunately very often they throw all the money out to the lawyers, which is another churban, but they can afford to get divorced. Very often the woman can afford to live on her own, she has her own income. In the old days they didn't have so much money, they just pushed it, couldn't they? They stuck it out. Rabbi Louis Bernstein, Zichrono Levracha, was a rabbi in a shul in Bayside, Queens, once told me there's never been a divorce in my shul. I said, Rabbi, what's your magic? No magic, there's no money in it. I said, you know, in the wealthy communities there's much more divorce. This is just an aside, I'm venting a little bit. Let's get back to the point at hand. So the Meshech Chochma says like this: the Torah frowns upon divorce. The Gemara tells us the person who divorces his wife, afilu mizbeach morid olav demos. The mizbeach is crying, and we know it's terrible. Divorce is terrible, especially if there are children. It's terrible. The children suffer immeasurably from divorce. I know the psychologist Pilpul, what's worse for a child growing up, a bad marriage of his parents or a divorce? They're both terrible. Bad marriages are terrible and divorce are terrible. We need good marriages. Oh. But if the marriage is somehow or other, even if it's not so great, it's still worth keeping together, at least for the sake of the children. I tell people, you want to get divorced, wait till your children are married. It hurts their shidduchim. It's everything. It depends which part of the world you're from a little bit, but stick it out. And you know, maybe if you stick it out for so long, you'll say, you know, we can survive ad mea viestra. You know, divorce is not a good thing. Fine. Says the Meshech Chochma, since the Torah doesn't want divorce, the Torah could not command a woman to fulfill Puruvu. For a simple reason. If you're going to command a woman to fulfill Puruvu, and she's married for 10 years, there'll have to be a divorce. How else is she going to fulfill Puruvu? Impossible. She's married to A. With A, she has no children. She'll have to get divorced from A and marry B. No about having children. But the Torah doesn't like divorce. No, but men are chayav puruvu. No, as I mentioned earlier, the man is married to a particular woman. After 10 years, there's no children. Don't have to get divorced. Just take another wife. Take another wife. Woman can't take another husband. I can take another wife. Those are the two pshatim, each one more fascinating than the next. The Meshech Chochma suggests as to why men are chayv in Pru Revu and women are not chayv in Pru Revu. He has more diyukim in the psukim. I was going to show it to you on the screen, but can't do that now, so I don't want to, you don't have the chumash in front of you either. So give a look, have a chance at Meshech Chochma and Bereishis Perek Tes. You'll see some beautiful diukim in the psukim. Hashem is talking to Noach of Ezbonov, only talking to the sons, not to the daughters. And he's talking Kitzer. I'm not going to go into those pratim right now. This, of course, leads to a much more general discussion, which we'll just touch on for 5 minutes, which is the distinctions between men and women when it comes to the laws of marriage and divorce, which is sometimes used by certain critics of the halacha to disparage the Torah Kedosha itself. They want to know, why is it that a man can have two wives and a woman can't have two husbands? Why is it that when it comes to marriage, the man is active and the woman is passive? Same when it comes to divorce, the whole Aguna issue, which we keep talking about. And they're very, why is it that if a woman is unfaithful, she's a sota with a capital punishment? If a man cheats with some single woman, it's not that way. In theory, you can marry her. So the answer to these questions is quite obvious. And as time allows, we'll see this answer answers many other questions as well. When the Ribbono Shel Olam created man and woman, as we read about last week's parasha, in the Kadosh Baruch Hu's infinite wisdom, he declared that only half the people in the world can have children. Men cannot bear children. You know, somebody's trans cover trying to show you. I'm not going into that right now. Men cannot bear children. They're not equipped. They don't have the organs to bear children. Only women can bear children. You'll ask why. That kash of why has, of course, no answer. Kadosh Baruch Hu is smarter than all of us. And he decreed, he understood, for the purpose of the world going on, that's how to be. Men cannot bear children, women can't bear children. For this reason, that a woman cannot have two husbands. If she has two husbands, you'll never know who the father is. Now, you'll say there's DNA now. DNA, you know, is not always so conclusive. You know, those who know the secular law about this, even the halacha about this, they didn't have the ability, certainly in biblical and Talmudic times, to make a definitive determination. So it's impossible to be married two men at the same time. Tell me, as far as you know in history, is there any society where a woman could be married to two men at the same time?
You're
collegiate, you're studying in college. Anywhere? Yes or no? Bigamy, was that bigamy ever allowed? Two wives? We know it's allowed in the Torah. Many non-Jewish societies allow it. I once read in the New York Times, there's some place somewhere in the Himalayan mountains somewhere, there's some small place where they allow not just polygamy, which means having more than one wife, but they call polyandry, more than one husband. Some little corner of the world. Now, what they do with this problem of paternal identity, I don't know. But it's only,
they
don't care, whatever. I saw it once in the Times somewhere, some freaky place. Never in the societies that, you know, that we know about. For that reason, Mimela, everything follows from there. That's exactly the reason why we say that a woman cannot be married to two men, a man can be married to two women. That's why if a woman is unfaithful, she's a sota, because she's unfaithful to her husband. Whereas a man, you can't say that, because in theory he can marry that other girl if she's single. That explains that a marriage is a man taking a woman into his home, and if he decides to take two wives, he's taking two women into his home, because two women can fit into one home. You have problems, you better get Shem Asin for good reason, but look at the Chumash. But okay, but a man can't be, what are you going to say, that should define marriage that a man goes into the woman's home? It's an impossibility, because he'd be schizophrenic. Right? It's true that we see, read it in Pesukim and Chumash by Yaakov Avinu, he went from Ohel Leah to Ohel Rachel. That's just right now where he happens to be physically. But you can't be a schizo. You can't be here. You're in this place, you're in that place, you're in Rachel's house, you're in Leah's house for 120 years. It's an impossibility. It can't be. That's why the man is active in marriage. Kigachi Shisha takes her into his home. And he's active in divorce. Vishilchami Beiso sends her out of his home. This explains, and I'm really, I only give a 1 minute summation, which takes much more time to explain at length. I don't want to go past the time. This also explains all the differences. I'm not going to explain it to you now. I'll give you a weekend assignment. You name me the difference between a man and a woman. Any difference you can think of, come up with a list on Sunday, and I'll try to somehow attribute it to this distinction. This immutable biological distinction that men cannot bear children. Can't change that. Yes?
I know, like, it's important, I guess, to know who your father is, but why is it, like, integral to, like,
even secular society understands that paternal identity is critical. You have to know your father is. Person doesn't know his father is, you know. We read about it in certain societies, they don't know who the father is. They don't do too well. That's other relevancies, including something I'm going to be talking about a little bit on Sunday at the medical conference. Okay, so we're out of time. Mitzvah Sunday was saying shiur at 10, thereabouts, at 11:45 at Belfer. I'm giving a shiur on modern medical questions with Dr. Reichman. Okay,
so
Shabbos to one and all.
Why in Parshas Noach did we repeat Purim?
I think that's part of the process, textual marriage. Yeah, we don't have it. So.